Good afternoon. Let's stand to our feet.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
As we were praising, I just happened to glance to my left through the door. It was raining. I got tears in my eyes because I sensed the Heavenly Father say to me, I am raining my spirit on my people if my people will simply receive it. Now, you may not see rain that way, but that's the way I saw it this morning. Okay?
Hallelujah.
Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for all those who are here this morning. I thank you for God, above all else, yesterday, I sensed an air of pregnancy in this place. I sensed the heaviness of pregnancy in this place. God, I saw pregnancy in the eyes of many of these people yesterday. Father, one member here even articulated how pregnant they were. God, I know that type of pregnancy is born only out of intimacy with you. Because we cannot get pregnant with a spiritual idea apart from intimacy with you. And I thank you, God, that as we draw near to you, as we seek your face, as we grab the altar, God, that you'll give us visions and dreams and hopes. And God, you'll make us pregnant with something. God, but Father, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And God, you want to bring each and every one of us to that time of birth, to that time at which we see the realization of that which you've put within us. And God, I realize that with all my heart, that Lord, what your mandate is, what your vision is for this body of people, you have a strategy for that. And God, it is our responsibility to seek you for that strategy.
Yes, amen.
And to make known that strategy. And to get in step with that strategy.
Yes.
God, your purpose for this place is to transform art and transform commerce and transform government and transform sport and transform every facet of our society. And that's to be done through your church.
Yes.
That's to be done through your church here in Mataron. God, this is but a part of it, but God, it is our responsibility take that step, to get in step with you, to move out and do, God, and to accomplish.
Thank you.
Because, Jesus. God, your spirit has already gone before us.
Yes, amen.
Your spirit has already prepared hearts.
Amen.
It is your desire that none should perish, that all should come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have a strategy for us to do that.
Wonderful.
And if we'll simply open our mouths,
yes,
you will fill it the way you want to.
Yes.
Give us divine appointments.
Yes.
Cause us to go forward,
yes,
and accomplish what you want.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I pray that now in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And God, this morning, just open the hearts of your people.
Yeah.
Be here by your Spirit, O God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you may be seated. I've got to apologize this morning and ask forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I don't think that I could personally live up to the wonderful things that Duncan and Andrew said about me. But Lord, I want to ask your forgiveness for Andrew and Duncan for saying them in the first place. I said yesterday that whatever is said is easier said if everybody's in the right mood, so hopefully you're in the right mood. Now, I know that yesterday God had a word for you. I know that God today has a word for you. How many of you were, just slip up your hand if you were not here yesterday. Okay, that's a lot of you. All right. Must have run off all those who were, but that's all right. You'll get that in a minute. If you haven't met my wife, would you stand up, honey? There she is. Right? She and I are ignorant, itinerant ministers. And God gratefully to us, and He's gracious, been gracious to us, and sent us literally all over the world, in about 40 countries. We're able to minister in many, many, many places. I want to tell you how fortunate you are. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
You're struggling with my southwestern accent?
No.
Southwest Texas. Thank you. You're fortunate people. I don't know how many churches just in Britain, Gloria and I have been in, a lot of them. But this bunch here, you guys in the Spirit, you really are freer than most in Britain we go to. Now, some of you know that. And if you don't, let me be the first to tell you that is true.
Yes.
And you're extremely fortunate. It's the Spirit of the Lord amongst you. Mm-hmm. It's your release of your adoration and your worship to the Lord.
Yes.
It's all of those things in one. You know, man can't orchestrate that.
No.
Only the Holy Spirit can.
Yes.
And you're very, very fortunate for the presence of God that you have in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And keep doing what you're doing.
Yes.
Because it's working and it's right.
Yes.
And shackles are being broken.
Yes.
People are getting freer and freer and freer and freer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Do you agree with me?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Gloria and I are itinerant ministers, and we've been in England now almost 16 years. And we didn't think we'd be there that long, but God had different ideas, and we're still there. And to us, that's home. To many of you, you still, you know, you got one foot in one country and one foot in the other country, and you know, where do I belong? You belong wherever God wants you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just simply that. So you just be where God wants you, and He'll use you, and He'll fill you with His Spirit, and you'll give out the light, the love, and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand one thing before I even start today, and bring a message to you, is that you're under a microscope.
Mm-hmm.
You as an individual. Your life, your marriage, your attitude, your words, your conduct are under a microscope. People are watching you. Don't even know it.
Yes.
You don't know who they are. But they want to see if you're the real McCoy.
Yeah.
Do you really have the goods? Or are you saying one thing and doing another?
Yeah.
Just simply that. We're going to break open the Word here in just a moment. But let me say this, that most of us, myself included, many years ago, as I didn't want to answer the call to the ministry. I ran from God. I got gloriously saved and born again, but I didn't want to answer the call to the ministry. I didn't know what that was.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured it was going to cost me more than I had. And it has. But I was a successful businessman, and my world was crumbling. Mm-hmm. And I gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sensed that God was calling me to the ministry, and I fought it and fought it and fought it and fought it. I had it all figured out. I was going to be a multimillionaire by the time I was 45 and hang it up.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe move to Spain. Could have moved anywhere. But I finally gave up. I surrendered. And I wrote it in my Bible. I surrender, Father.
Mm-hmm.
And I will go anywhere and say anything to any people, anytime, for you.
Yes.
And for your glory.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's all I wrote. And I still have the Bible. It's an old King James dog-eared thing. I had to admire this woman's Bible or somebody's Bible down here. It's all held together with duct tape. Now that's a good old Bible. I don't know whose that is, but here, it's Duncan. I rejoice in Bibles like this. Right? That's a lifetime of hearing God.
Yeah.
Because there's probably many things in here, and I'll tell you, if you don't have a Bible, break it out, and every time God says something to you, you write it in the Bible.
Okay?
And you can look back in retrospect, and you'll see God's guidance in your life.
Yes.
I think that's a wonderful, wonderful Bible. So most of us, as we've studied and you know, whether you realize it or not, you're in the University of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You really are. You may not sense it, you may not know it, but you're going to school, and you're taking a course. And for most of us, we're on a different course level, but you never graduate. You just get to take the next course. And so it was with the disciples. And they spent 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you begin to read the Gospels, I think we all make the same mistake. We all think that it's because of the mindset that we had, because I don't know where you were discipled. You came out of the Anglican Church, or you came out of the Baptist Church, or you came out of the URC, or you came out of Roman Catholicism, or you came somewhere. And you were indoctrinated some way, somehow, in some form. But when we come into the kingdom, we have this mindset, this understanding that we have got to understand Scripture. Is that the way you feel? We know that Scripture is all truth, right?
Yeah.
And so we think, well, that's Jesus spent 3.5 years indoctrinating his men in Scripture, in scriptural truth and understanding, so that they would have all of their ducks in a row. Isn't that the way we think? He didn't. Let me be the first to tell you, if you haven't figured it out already, he did not do that. He spent 3.5 years changing their character, their character, however you want to enunciate it, all right? That's what he spent 3 years doing. So that when their lives got under a microscope and they were under close observation by everyone else, they wouldn't fail the test. Okay. And so what he's doing for you and I today is he's changing our character in every dimension. And your character is what you do when no one can see you. Think about that. It's what you do when no one can see you. It's what you do in the dark. It's what you do when you're by yourself. God never misses a thing. And he spent years and years and years, now whether we realize it or not. Yes, Jesus came into the earth. Yes, he was the Son of God. Yes, he was deity. But at the same time, he was humanity. And it took a number of years for his Father to perfect him to the point at which God was ready to release him to go and do what he did. You with me? So it's character. That's why we always feel a little bit uncomfortable in our relationship with the Lord. That's why things never seem to be exactly quite right. Or is that just me? Huh? I mean, because God's always working with us, yeah? And he's preparing us for something. He's readying us for something. He's training us for something. He's equipping us for something. And that is the answer, right there. There's a world out there that is without him. And we are his arms. We are his legs. We are his mouth. And it is up to us to do the work. And we want to sit here and pray and believe that he's going to bring everybody into this place. Then we're going to show up some Sunday morning and the place will just be over and there will be a queue right down the concrete out here. It ain't going to happen that way.
No.
It ain't going to happen. No. It ain't going to happen anywhere. No. And you know, but in order for us to be ready to do that, he's got to make us into what he wants us to be. Okay? Just simply that. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning, if we can. All right? If you have a Bible, if you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you. Now, I know this to be a fact. An absolute lay-down fact. And that is just briefly this, that oftentimes when you visit a place and you come in and you meet a people, especially when you don't know them, and that's the purest kind, you have a word for this one, you have a word for that one, you have a word for that one, because we can all prophesy. Paul says we can. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. And it doesn't always have to be, thus saith the Lord. Yeah. In fact, if you hear, thus saith the Lord, take it with a grain of salt. And the reason I say that is primarily because the greatest prophetic word you're going to hear is probably from the one sitting right next to you.
Right, amen.
And suddenly they just open up their mouth, have no idea why they said what they said.
Yes.
And it just, boom, it went off in you like a rocket.
Yeah.
And that's a prophetic word. Because
right.
they're speaking what God is saying.
That's right.
And my only job today is to speak what I know God is saying to you. And that's about as prophetic as you can get. Okay? And I want to thank... Pastor Rod McCoy was sitting here with his wife yesterday, and he didn't feel good. We had prayed for him at the breakfast. And God bless him. He's no different than anybody else. Everybody, every time you come here, if you think you got exactly the right message, you're wrong. But there's always that doubt in your mind. And you come to a place, is that what happens with you, Pastor? You come and you think, God, I hope I've got the right message today. Yeah. And you're never quite sure. But somehow in the course of what I said yesterday, I just happened to say that some of you have gone and like Elijah and sat down under a terebinth tree, and it went off in his heart like a rocket.
Yes.
And he didn't say anything till it was all over the radio. He said, when you said terebinth tree, I knew I had tomorrow's message right.
Yeah.
Okay? So you always hope for that. And so this morning he's talking about Elijah sitting down under a terebinth tree. And some of you are just like Elijah. You sat down under a terebinth tree, you wonder where God is, and you're almost to the point that you're going to pray that you die. You don't have to. Okay? I can't preach his message. I don't know what he's preaching. I preached along the same lines, but that's not this morning's message. All right? So let's go, if we may, to I just printed it. I'm real professional. I just printed off over out of BibleGateway.com. Anybody else do that? Thank God for technology today. Man, I'm telling you. Bible Gateway. So I want to read this in two translations. And I think that Will's going to put them up. You going to put them up? All right, I'm going to read New King James first. All right? This is Paul writing to the church. The church at Corinth was a great church. I mean, moved in power, had gifts in abundance, had people who were committed to the Lord Jesus, but man, they were out of order. They were really out of order. And they didn't do things right. So he writes to the church here in the 8th chapter and the 10th verse. He says, and in this I give advice. It's to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you must also complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there's first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. Now let me read the same thing in the message. For some of us it'll be a little easier to understand. Paul says, so here's what I think. The best thing you can do right now is to finish what you started last year and not let those good intentions grow stale. Your heart's been in the right place all along. You've got what it takes to finish it up, so go to it. Once the commitment is clear, you do what you can, not what you can't. Right? Now, with that in mind, I want to spend the next few minutes that we have together talking to you about finishing what you start. And so I just want to ask you a question. Yeah, there are many, many, many people who want to date, who are happy dating the Lord, but they don't want to marry Him. And he's coming for a complete bride without spot, without wrinkle. And he wants us to marry him. He wants us to get in step with what he's doing. So my big question, I think, to everybody else is what did God put in your heart last year? What did God put in your heart 2 years ago? What did God put in your heart 5 years ago, 10 years ago? What is it that you made a commitment to with your heart, with your mouth? What is it that you committed to with your brethren, with the church leadership, with people in your family? What is it that you said, yes, I'll do that, but you haven't done it? You haven't completed it. You can't be counted upon because you just didn't do it. just quit in the middle of something, see? So I want to talk about finishing what you start. And if the Bible wants to give me some advice, as Paul said, I want to take notice of it. Especially if God wants to give me some advice. I want every little edge that I can possibly have to make a difference, to give me an advantage. So he's saying, not only to have started it, but to finish it. Gloria and I were driving in America 3 years ago, 4 years, 3 years ago. We were on our way to a church that we minister to in the state of Texas. She was asleep in the car, and I'm doing the driving, and I looked up, and there was a big, huge billboard, and it was just shortly before Easter, and all it said, it was just the words and then the scripture underneath, "It is finished." And I want you to know that everything Christ said was profound, absolutely profound. But if there were anything anything he said that is more profound and more important than those three words, in the Bible, I don't know what they are. It is finished. Because in the space of about 2 hours as I'm driving on the motorway, I bet I had 400 messages race through my head on "it is finished." Okay. Let me ask you, where would you and I be today if Jesus had not finished his purpose? If he had not finished what he was sent to do? Where would we all be if Paul had not done so? We'd be without 2/3 of the New Testament if he'd have just given up. And he had every reason to. I can go on in this book of Corinthians and I can read all of the horrible things that happened to him. But he finished his course. He finished his purpose. He finished what he was sent to do. Every commitment that he made, I believe he finished it. And that's all God is really saying, see? Not only are you to do what you began to do, but now you're to complete the doing of it. And finishing is whatever you started. Life is full of good starters. Life is not full of good finishers. You know, if you start a new ministry, people will come. If you start a new church, people will come. It's amazing how good people are at starting. We start a diet. How many have ever started a diet? Now, I don't know who you committed to. Maybe it was just you. Maybe it was your mate. I don't know. But if you started a diet, or you started a program, whatever that might be, and you look around and you think, you know, I need to get back to that. I need to get back. God's saying to you, you need to get back to that. Just simply that. God holds us responsible for finishing the things we started, see? Paul says in 2 Timothy, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course." So life's not really about what you start. It's about what you finish. And the only reason you should ever stop anything is because you're through. And I just say to you, fulfill the things you said to the people to whom you've said it, whether it be yourself, your mate, God, whatever it is, okay? Don't let anything get in the way of it. God may have started a good work in you, but he's going to continue it until it's finished. See? I want to challenge everybody here today just to be, not to be a good starter, but to be a good finisher. Mm-hmm. All right? Let me read this to you. I just jotted this down. How many of you were all old enough to remember the Olympics in Mexico City in 1968? Do you remember seeing that on television? Now, you may even remember this. I did, and when I saw this, I thought, I've got to write it down because I remember this individual. It was the time of the marathon, which is 26 miles, 385 yards, and I don't know how many thousands and thousands of athletes from around the world ran that marathon, but there was one fellow named John Stephen Akwari, and he was from Tanzania in Africa, and he started it. 7 hours later, he is the last one back into the stadium, and the stadium that started with 80,000 people probably has 5,000 in it now. And he comes into the stadium, and his feet literally are bandaged and bleeding, and he looks like he's been through the wars. And as he crossed the finish line, the very last finisher, he was interviewed by an interviewer, and I believe it was the BBC, I'm not sure, but I believe so, because he was a Commonwealth fellow, and I think BBC did, But he came limping into the stadium all bloody and with his feet bandaged and in last place in the race. He was an hour behind everyone else, and there's maybe 5,000 people left in the stadium. And then when he was asked why any athlete would put himself through such hell, this is what he said. My country did not send me here to start this race. They sent me 5,000 miles to this place so that I could finish the race. Now, I don't know whether he was a Christian or not, but he had an understanding of finishing. He didn't have to finish.
Right.
There were others in the race who had dropped out
at
14 miles or 20 miles or 16 when they hit the wall. I don't know. But he didn't have to. But he had a sense, an understanding, that there was a greater purpose for me to finish whatever it is I started. And so, you know, that's hope for you and I today.
Yes.
We can do that, see. See, a lot of people start a lot of things. A financial plan, a ministry, a marriage. How many people do you know that are married or were married, and they just reached a point someday at which they said, I'm just not getting anything out of it anymore. That's a shock. How many people do you know, and I mentioned something about this yesterday, but that are in the church, you know, and just in fellowship and in talking one to another, they just say, you know, I'm not getting anything out of church anymore. I think I'll look for a different church. Maybe that's run through your head. I don't know. That's not finishing what you started. Because when God put you here, or you met the leadership and you made a commitment to the leadership and said, you know, Pastor, I'm just glad to be here. My wife and I have been searching for a lively fellowship, a place where we can really draw life and be, you know, and make a contribution and be a part of a church family. And for 6 months we've been looking for this place, and here we are. We're just going to rejoice with you, God, Pastor, because we're here.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to sit under the ministry of the Lord, you know. And let me tell you, I've been a pastor. I've planted churches, planted Bible schools. But I know how what that does in a man's heart. He thinks, glory to God. God has sent us some people here,
mm-hmm.
you know. And in 3 months, 6 months down the road, they start getting offended by this one, that one, the other one, me, you, everybody else. And the next thing else, they're out the door. And that breaks a pastor's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I realize they're Jesus' sheep. But he has made us under shepherds, and he does hold us responsible for their growth. Huh? And it breaks your heart when those kind of things happen. So that's an example of someone who did not finish what they started. I won't mention the diet again.
Hallelujah.
See, but it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Can we turn that fan on?
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Fan.
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 Fan. That's what I said.
Fan.
Can we turn that fan on for me? I used to be real country, but I've lived in too many countries and moved around so much that I've lost a lot of the old country. Thanks. Appreciate that. Just kind of oscillate it and just seemed to be a little warm. I think living in England has spoiled me. It gets above 21 degrees, I start running. I almost give up my commitment and don't finish what I started. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. You all don't need it till July and August. It's kind of warm. You're laboring under the word, you get warm. But Gloria and I, this is true. We were on staff at Christ for the Nations UK, which was the Bible college that we came to help establish. In about the second or third year we were there, I, like you, really sensed the Holy Spirit say, you need to take better care of yourself. Anybody heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Especially as the years pile on, mm-hmm. you got to take better care of yourself. You know, you need to get in better shape. That's what we sensed. So we decided to go to the local health club. So we went down and talked to the manager of the local health club. I think it was a Friday? I think so. Friday morning. And there was no one there, but they had this beautiful little health club in the local Grange. And we walked in, and on the ground floor there were all of these brand new machines, rowing machines and treadmills, and it was all new equipment. Then I thought, whew, this is nice. This is going to be expensive. Now you got to realize we're ignorant. I mean, itinerant ministers, and we're missionaries, and so we don't have a big salary. So I'm wondering how much is this going to cost, you know? But then he took us upstairs, and upstairs were the resistance machines, you know, this one and all these and all that. And then there was a whole array of dumbbells and barbells. It's all new stuff, you know. And I said, well, Mike, how much is this going to cost us? And he said, well, you're at the Bible college. He said, I'm going to give you a break because I think that some of the students as well as some of the staff will come up here and join too. So I'm going to give you a break on the membership cost. And we just rejoiced in that and thought, well, that's God's blessing. That's God's answer for us. So we signed up, you know. I don't know, year or whatever it was. But I mean, I was really excited about it. Gloria was excited about it. And that was Friday. We got excited. We'll go tomorrow. Because it's weekend, Saturday, right? And we went down to the Grange, and we were, you know, we had our gear in our little bag. And we went into the locker room and changed. And we opened up the door, and I saw 40 people in agony. Folk were grunting. They were sweating. Their faces were red. The place smelled like old gym shoes. And I thought, dear God, what have I gotten myself into? But I realized I had made a commitment. Something as simple as that. I'd made a commitment. I said I would, and I was going to finish that which I had started. Because I've understood, you know, all these years that you've got to finish because eyes are on you. And I have no idea what Mike would have thought. That's not the point. The point is, he's watching. He's watching to see if you'll complete that which you started. And so I think we belong there about 4 years. And then at the end of about 4 years, we moved out of the college, and I no longer taught there, and we got directed our ministry in a different direction. And so, yeah. But and even when we moved down to Portsmouth, we joined a club down there. It was at the Marriott or something. And it wasn't any better. Just more people and more sweat. more red face. But we did it, and you know, and I think now I've lost a couple of stone, and I feel much better, and I sleep easier, I breathe easier, you know, and I think we've done what the Holy Spirit asks us to do. But I think it has to do with commitment. And when you say, when the Holy Spirit asks you to do something, and you begin to do it, that's the same as making a commitment. And then you think about all the people who made vows to their partners when they married, but 5 years down the road say, well, I'm just not getting anything out of it. And they just go off and, you know, ruin 27 lives. Mm-hmm. All because of they're so self-centered. So God just says, "What that which you started, finish it. Whatever it might be." Okay? That was Philippians 1:6, where God says, "That which he's begun in me, he'll finish or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." The great thing is God is a finisher of what he starts. Now listen, he won't let you and I off the hook. All right? In John 17:4, Jesus said very simply this. I've got it here somewhere. Are you faster than I, Will? I've lost my sheep. What did I do with my sheep? Anyway, John 17:4, New King James, I think. Can you get that? I didn't write it down, though. So it isn't important how you start. I mean, it looks good for a lot of people to show up to do something. You know, if you have a work day here, and you say, well, yeah, and the leadership says, well, we have a work day, and we'd like everybody to come, and can you be here, Fred? Can you be here, John? Yeah, I'll be here. If that's what you said, be here. I don't care what it costs you. Yeah. If it costs you everything that you own. If it costs you money, if it costs you time, if it costs you whatever. Well, if you said, yes, I will, then do it. Okay? Yeah. I've glorified you on the earth. I've finished the work which you gave me, you've given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. See, Jesus said, I have finished what you asked me to do. This would be a good time to look in Luke. If you got a Bible, just turn over to Luke real quick. Now I know you know this. Chapter 14. I know you know this, but let me just say this. He's not saying that just to you. The message he gave me about finishing what you start is not just for this fellowship. It's not just for you personally. God's saying it in churches all over the world. Because we all have the same problem. To finish what you committed to do, what you said you would do to God or anyone else, takes time, takes effort, often takes money. But it certainly takes effort. And so, Christians around the world have the same problems that I have and you have. We say we'll do something, then we don't do it. Okay? So, from a character standpoint, God says, that's not good enough. You gotta, Luke chapter 14. Jesus is ministering to the disciples. Let me see where I want to start here. Yeah, 28. Jesus says, which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he's laid the foundation, he's not able to finish, and all who see it begin to mock him. Now I'm saying, our lives are under a microscope. People are watching to see, right? People know whether you committed to this or that, or they heard you say it, or maybe you just said it with your heart. All right? Saying, the man began to build, but was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks condition of peace. So likewise, whoever you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So it's important to count the cost in whatever you do, whatever you commit to. No rationalizing, no justification, no excuses. God says, I will not take no for an answer. Right? So he says, I give you advice. It's to your advantage not only to be doing what you began, were desiring to do a year ago, but now you must also complete the doing of it. If you've made a commitment, finish it. God says, I want you to finish whatever it is you started. Now, in order to finish anything that we've talked about, anything that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about, you're going to have to encounter some trials. There will be trials. There will be tribulations. There will be obstacles. I can assure you that whatever you're committed to, it's not going to be easy. But it will be possible, and you can do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. But there will be opposition. There will be challenges. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Hey, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Okay? And what shall we say, brethren? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? So just mark it down. It doesn't have anything to do with how many demons have moved in a town, or how many hours you pray, or how much warfare you're in, how wicked folks are. In this life, you're going to have trouble. Now, you may not have trouble today, but I can assure you, you will have trouble. Trouble is coming to a town near you. Probably Matheron. And it may just be the street where you live. In fact, it could be your house. But trouble is coming. You can... listen. Paul, in the book of James, now mark this one down. Put it on your refrigerator. It's got to be your favorite verse. Count it all joy when you fall into trials, temptations, testings, and serious trouble. Huh? Because the trial and the testing works patience in you. Okay? You cannot have patience without trouble. You can't. The Bible says it. If you want more patience, then fine. Give me some more trouble. And that trouble will create in you patience. And it takes patience to overcome anything. See, the Bible says we're overcomers. And every time we read that, we think, we're overcomers. No, you're not. You're not an overcomer until you test it. Until you overcome something bigger, uglier, nastier than you are. And then you can count yourself amongst the overcomers. I love the promise, but the reality is, we're not overcomers until we genuinely overcome something. See? People climb mountains because they want to overcome that mountain. That's why they don't climb hills. Everybody can climb a hill, but only a mountain climber can climb a mountain. And they do it because it's a challenge. Anyway, just talk to somebody who's gone halfway up Kilimanjaro and turned around and came back. They feel terrible. And don't you feel terrible when you've made a commitment that you're going to do this, that, or the other to your family or to friends or to your brethren here or to the leadership here, and then you don't do it and you quit in the middle of it? And you could be rubber stamped forever as quitter, but the love of God won't let people do that. You understand what I'm saying? So God says, whatever you started, finish it. If you're pregnant today with a spiritual idea, with a spiritual hope, whatever that may be, whether it be for your children, for your family, for your home out here, whatever you've got, for this community, listen, you're the light in this community. You're one of the few lights in this community. You've got the only opportunity to change this community for the better, for the glory of God. You won't get any reward here, okay? You're just not going to get a reward here. You're going to get it when you get there. And then it's going to really mean something. If somebody pats you on the back for something you did today, get away from them. They'll make you feel too good about yourself. They'll cause your head to get too big. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? But you want to do what you can do for the glory of God. Now God has that. I said prophetically earlier, God's got a strategy for you. I don't know what it is. I really don't. But I'm going to pray for you. And I will say this. I only had breakfast with Duncan and his wife, and she was too far away, and my old ears couldn't hear everything she said. And I was lucky to hear what Duncan had to say, but he didn't tell me what the church was doing, when the church was founded, what God had said to the church. Did you? But I'm going to say this to you before, and we'll just leave it at that. I really sense above all else that Gloria and I are your servants. That woman and I are your servants. And we commit to you today to help you in any way we can. That may only be prayer. It may be input. I don't know. That's up to the Lord. Okay? You hear me? You hear me? Okay. But we are your servants. And anything we can do to help you, to assist you, to encourage you, to build you up, to speak, to preach, to teach, nothing. If we just send emails back and forth across the ways. But we're your servants. All right? Now that's my commitment to you, and I won't shrink back from that. The Bible says that if you shrink back... from my purposes, my soul will have, or my heart will have no, whatever he, what did he say? I can't remember. I'm so excited, I'm afraid I'm going to spit on everybody. my soul shall have no pleasure in him if you shrink back. Hey, I don't want to spit on anybody, so I'm going to stand back over here, right? But I'm excited. Listen, I was excited when we came in here yesterday. I was excited here this morning. I was excited to come down here. I thought an hour and a half, that's too long. That's how long the drive was. The message is 4 hours long, but the drive, no. But the drive was an hour and a half, and I thought, when are we going to get there? I was like a little kid back there. Are we there yet? Hey, Juliet, are we there yet? That's how excited I was to get here. Now, I mean that. I'm not shucking and jiving you. It's an Americanism, but I'm not kidding you. I didn't know. So anyway, God says the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. King James says patience, all right? Endurance means the ability to run that race or complete what you committed to, all right? And finish it. So you can't get the patience without trouble, and the testing does that, okay? So here, let's go back to the original question. What's God put in your spirit? What's in your spirit? What are you pregnant with? I don't know. For many of us, we have a generic pregnancy. We all want the same thing for the body. We all want the same thing in our lives. But there are many specifics, and I have no idea what those things are. In your life, you know. So what did God put in your spirit? What was that dream, that vision that he put within you? There's still a, you know, you got a wonderful church here. You gotten off to a wonderful start. You've overcome a lot of obstacles in the past. But there are still obstacles in front of you. The enemy doesn't want you to make one advance in any dimension in your area, in your sphere. That he doesn't. See. So he's gonna make you feel so bad about yourself and your ability to accomplish anything that you think, I can't do anything. Woe is me. That's can't preach Rod McCoy's message. But that's the problem with Elijah. He sat down under that terebinth tree and said, let me die. I'm no better than my ancestors. See? And God wanted him to know he was with him. So he said, well, go hide over there. And I'm going to pass by. You know the story. And he did. And he got a touch from God. And then he lay down and you know, he said, I'm the only one you got. You ever felt that way? I'm the only one you got, God. I'm the only saved one on this street. Or I'm the only saved one, you know, wherever you live. You know, God did all of that with him, to him, for him. And then he said, no, get up. Get up. Get out of here. What are you doing here? Now that's what God's saying to you and I.
Yeah.
Huh? Get up. Get out of here. What are you doing here? Oh, by the way, Elijah, I've got 7,000 others.
Yeah.
Who haven't bowed the knee to Baal or kissed him or kissed his mouth.
Okay.
Same thing. So when we're just bound to Baal. You don't want to bow to Baal, do you? You want to get up and get out. And just, you know. So I think it's, I don't know. I'm just saying, for this fellowship, if you're committed to this fellowship, then you're committed to pray for him. You're committed to pray to God to say, God, give me my piece of the puzzle. You've got a strategy. You've got a plan up there. You know, God thinks, God's the grand builder, is he not? I mean, he's the architect. He's got the master plan for every place, but he's got the master plan for Matharon.
Yes.
He's not going to let you see it. He's going to release it here a little, there a little, line on line.
Yeah.
Little at a time. He'll show him probably more than any of us. And then he'll show him another part of the puzzle. And they'll show the other leaders part of the puzzle. And then they'll say, well, this is what I hear God saying. This is what I hear God saying. And you guys need to speak up. This is what I prayed. I asked God for strategy. And this is what he told me. And then you need to let that be known. You think, oh, well, we can't do that. No, you can't. You're right. You cannot. But you and him can. You got to do what you can do. And then let him do what you cannot do. But he's already gone before you. He's tilled hearts. He's got people ready to receive the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And I used to be an evangelist. I don't... God changed my anointing 2 or 3 times. So I'm still an evangelist, but I'm not an evangelist. You understand what I'm saying? I don't walk in those shoes anymore, but my heart is still for souls. And every one of us has to have a heart for souls.
Yes.
And so if you're committed to souls, then you got to do something about it, because nobody else is going to do it, see? So if you're going to finish your course, you're going to have that spirit, that nature of a finisher. Not just a starter, but a finisher. You know, if you're going to fulfill a career or a marriage or a ministry or a church family or anything. So you are going to have to do that. See? God said this in Galatians 6 and 9. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you don't stop, if you don't quit. If you don't finish, if you don't weary, you understand? There's a weariness that comes in trying to finish something. Jesus, from time to time in his ministry, got weary. I mean, he wasn't fatigued, but he was somewhat weary. He drew apart. He had to get sustenance from the Father. If you feel weary today, get alone with God.
Yes.
Say, God, fill me up with ideas, with dreams, with hopes, with strategy, with understanding, with revelation. How can he turn you down? He cannot, because he loves you and he has a covenant with you. Do you understand? Do you believe that? He will not withhold the great things from heaven to you. I want to give the Lord Jesus Christ glory, because in John chapter 15 and verse 15, He said to his disciples, I'm not going to call you servants anymore.
Yes.
I'm going to call you friends.
Yeah.
Because I have revealed to you as my friends everything that my Father has spoken to me. So how can you hold anything back from your eye? And he won't. But it's our responsibility.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
You can go sit down under a terebinth saying, well, drop it all on me. Well, the truth is, God is not going to come along and unscrew the top of your head and pour it all in and put the top back on. It just doesn't happen that way. He has a responsibility that he will fulfill, and you and I have a responsibility that we must fulfill. And whatever it is we start, we must finish it, okay? But in due season, we will reap if we faint not. So, God, the truism is this. God has programmed every one of us to be finishers. When you and I made the commitment, we came into the kingdom, and sin was lifted, joy and peace came on us, some understanding, and he spent however many years you've known the Lord, he's pouring himself into you, his understanding, his nature. He said in Romans 8:29 that he was going to make every one of us like his son. That's his stated purpose. That's the reason for which we're here. That we might become as his son. Yeah? And so if that's true, I've got to take on his nature. I've got to think like Jesus. I've got to speak like Jesus. I've got to act like Jesus. I've got to be a finisher like Jesus. I've got to be all those things just like Jesus. And it doesn't happen overnight. It happens a little at a time. It happens, it's a process. We have to go through the process. I wish that weren't true, but we do. We have to go through the process. And you can look back in the Bible, and every man who ever submitted himself to God and never did anything great for the kingdom and for God's glory and Jesus' whatever, you know. Anybody that did, they had to make a commitment, they had to do it. And you with me? So, we got to do that. And I'm going to read this to you. I wrote these things down. It's on a little yellow piece of paper. People are unreasonable. Would you say that?
Yeah.
No, really?
Occasionally.
They're illogical and they're self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. But succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. Dead men have no reputation. You got nothing to hide. You got nothing to protect. Dead men have no reputation. The Bible says Jesus made himself of no reputation. So if you're trying to protect your reputation, or you're worried about what people are going to say, think, or say, you need to get healed. Submit yourself to the Holy Spirit for healing, that he can rip that baggage off your back so that you do not respond to what Jesus addressed that in John chapter 12, verse 41 to 43. Men did what they did to please men rather than God. And if you're like that and you do what you do to please men rather than God, you'll never be effective in this body or any other body.
Right.
Now that's true. I mean, and I'm just telling you as honest as I can.
That's right.
What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build it anyway.
Yeah.
People really need help. But they attack you sometimes if you help them. But help them anyway. Amen. God just simply says this. Whatever it is you started, whatever it is you committed to, to whomever you did so, finish it. Just that. It's a character issue. It's a character issue. You got to be counted on. Your life's under a microscope. You got to finish what you start. And stand to our feet. Father, I thank you for the truth that's in your word. I thank you, God, that you're saying the very same things to each and every one of us. And I thank you, God, that if we were just a little mouse and we could go around the world today, similar messages are being spoken around the world to congregations in Africa, Asia, North America, South America, everywhere. God, you just want us to have the right kind of character.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus came and finished what you sent him to do. Mm-hmm. Paul came and finished what you sent him to do. Mm-hmm. Father, at the end of my life, God, I want to say, I have finished my course. Mm-hmm. I have kept the faith, and I've done what you asked me to do. Lord, my epitaph will just simply say, here lies a man who did what he was asked. Simply that. No more, no less. Father, I pray that for my brothers, my sisters here. God, I know, God, that you've got a strategy for them.
Yes.
I don't know what that entails.
Jesus.
I do know this. As I spoke to one of the members yesterday, I reminded her that the Virgin Mary was in the right condition when she was pregnant, but she was not in the right position. She had to go from where she was when the angel announced that to her to Nazareth, because there and only there could she give birth to what God had put in her. It may necessitate for some of you a move. I don't know what that means. I have no idea, but it may, if you're going to fulfill the mandate that God's got for you. All right? So many people here are pregnant, so you're in the right condition, but spiritually and maybe physically, you've got to get in the right position,
praise
to
Lord.
Fulfill it.
Yes.
The Father, put it in everybody's hearts just to recommit to the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Let me say this. Let's let everybody bow their head. I believe there's several people here who really don't know the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit has been dealing with them, and the Holy Spirit's been tugging on their heart. And it's so simple, so easy, just to make a simple commitment. And if that's you this morning, I just ask you to slip your hand up. No one will see it but me. Just slip your hand up and then put it back down. There are a number of people here this morning that honestly, your relationship, your intimacy with the Lord was white hot back when you got born again.
Jesus.
And your life was really popping. God showed up at every turn. The Holy Spirit spoke to you practically daily. And you haven't sensed that. And maybe you've unbeknownst to you, maybe not intentionally, but you've just relaxed some spiritual disciplines. You don't spend the time with Him that you used to. You've let the cares of this world crash in on you. And the demands of time steal time from you. And because you're not that intimate anymore, you feel like something's really wrong. I've done some great sin or something. And He's saying, no, you haven't. You've just kind of moved out of my circle a little bit. And I'm going to bring you back. And if that's you this morning, and you want to be brought back into the circle, you want that intimacy rekindled, I want to pray with you. So just simply raise your hand. I see those hands. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over those who were honest, who made themselves transparent and frank, and they raised their hands. And God, they know that things aren't like they used to be. But above all else, oh God, they desire that they be that way. God, there's nothing to take the place of intimacy with you.
That's right.
And closeness with you.
Oh,
and a word from you on practically a daily basis. But God, a sense that you're with us in everything we're doing and in every moment of our lives.
Jesus.
And God, you and you alone, by your precious Holy Spirit, you can speak to these people. You can show them what they must do, the changes they have to make in order to get back to that kind of white hot relationship with you. So God, I ask you to do it. I pray over these people. I declare it will be done in the precious and mighty name of
hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And it will start today. Today, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it. Give you glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.